He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
It's okay to sometimes lovingly confront. We should see what's going on in our nation and see what's going on in the church and say, zeal for your house has consumed me. I hate to see the perversion and the perverting of truth. I hate to see God's word being mocked and in our churches. And there should be something that upsets us, and we should boldly but lovingly confront these things. Jesus would confront entire cities that did not repent.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground is titled, Something Has to Break, and is part 3 in our ongoing series, Don't Demonize the Demonized. Mark 9:28 says that certain kinds of evil spirits can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Often, spiritual pressure has to be maintained before there is a breakthrough in heavenly warfare. Join us today for a message of strength and encouragement from Pastor Shane as he explains how we may resist the attacks of Satan today and fight the good fight of the faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Idleman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Idleman.
Have you ever been tormented? Maybe some listening have, and that's probably why they're not here. They don't go out much. There's a tormenting. They're hearing voices, and they're being tormented. And I talked in the first series, or the first message a couple weeks ago, you can go back and listen about, I don't believe Christians can be possessed. The Bible actually doesn't use the word possessed. It uses the word demonized. And I'm wondering how much Christians are demonized. I actually met a lady. Oh, baptized her last night at the stadium and just came out of Satanism 4 years ago. And when you talk to somebody and you know they know what they're talking about, and she said, Shane, that demonic realm is real. That spiritual realm is real. Let me tell you, things that would make your blood curdle. It was just amazing what she went through. And she said after she became a Christian, it was amazing. But still needed deliverance because of the stronghold of the occult in her life. And she was just, as a Christian, but Lord, why am I struggling? What's going on? And I can't have this. I'm a Christian. But opening up to witchcraft and the occult and black magic, there's some deep-rooted issues there. And finally, someone was able to pray with her, and the deliverance took some time. And she said, my body manifested, and I was released, though. It felt like this came out of me. It was incredible. And I don't quite understand how this all works, to be honest with you. Don't let any pastor tell you they've got perfect theology. Run to another church. One believes in the rapture, another one doesn't. One believes in this, another one doesn't. One believes in, you know, as long as we agree on the essentials, that's the key. But in this area of demonology, you can get too far to the left where it's too much about demons. Demon under every rock, you're upset, you need to be delivered of anger. You've got Leviathan on you. You've got Jezebel spirit, and it's all about the demons. But then the other side, well, I kind of camp out sometimes, is I don't want to talk about the demons. I don't want to deal with it. Let's just discipline ourselves. Let's just follow the word. And come on, can they just stay away from me? But as Jack Hayford said, you can't discipline a demon and you can't cast out the flesh. You have to discern what is going on. And I just truly believe, I think there's a lot more demonic activity going on in the lives of people than they realize. For example, why don't we consider this option when there is mental illness or physical illness or any other types of situation? Why don't we go to God in prayer and fasting and discernment and find out? Because a gift of the Spirit is discerning of spirits, to discern what is going on. And it's hard because people ask me, you know, quite often if I'm against medication when I teach on things like this. And I'm not against medication. I'm not against things that work. For example, you heard me talk recently about serotonin reuptake inhibitors. You know, that if somebody has a nervous breakdown and their serotonin levels are depleted, their adrenal glands are fatigued, and something is going to help boost that, in a good way. But there's also natural remedies, GABA, gamma aminobutyric acid, something called 5-HTP, I think it's hydrotryptophan, and there's things naturally that do that as well. So my thought is always, don't run to Xanax, run to the scriptures. Run to, what is God's word saying to you? Because we want to medicate everything nowadays. I've even talked to my doctor about this, and he agrees, praise God. Why, when someone comes in with diabetes and high blood pressure and all these things, you just give them a pill? Why don't you get to the root problem? Do you know type 2 diabetes is diet-related? Diet-related? So why not get to the root, fix the problem, and then experience health? Because taking insulin is not going to fix it long-term. Actually, most diabetics get worse and worse and worse and worse. Same with heart disease or high blood pressure. Oh, I'm taking this pill. I've got this Coumadin to thin my blood. Well, I can get you off of that in good shape if you just follow what God's word says. Now, again, I'm not saying there's not a need for that sometime. But why do we always run to that? Always run to these situations. And it look online, Xanax has just skyrocketed since COVID. And while you're there, type in side effects of Xanax or coming off of it. It's worse than the problem. And so we're medicating, and we're medicating, and we're medicating, and we're medicating. We're never experiencing freedom. And we have to be careful in the area of medication because it does come from the word pharmacy comes from, it's not a good word. It has to do with magic and witchcraft and things like that. Now, I'm not saying if you walk into a pharmacy or get medication, that is the case. I'm just saying be careful. Be careful that we don't run, we're not running to Christ instead of all these other things. We have to get to the root problem of what's going on. So no, I'm not against medication if it's a last resort, not a first resort. And if somebody truly needs it, they've sought God and they know, hey, this is something God's put on my heart, I think it's going to help in this area, then by all means, look into that. But also look into the side effects. Look at what's really causing it. Do you know how many people, I've over the years, I have a background in health and fitness, many of you know, but I've talked to, it's up there in the hundreds and hundreds of people dealing with anxiety. Have you ever had that? Debilitating anxiety, panic attacks? It's like, you feel like you're going to die, the heart rate, and different, it's just like, oh, I can't function. Well, when I start with their diet, it's pretty revealing. I get up and I have a Venti. What, did you know that 500 milligrams of caffeine, actually lists that in the mental book for disorders, that over 500 you start to experience psychological issues? Why not look at what we're consuming? Look at what, I know it's convicting. I didn't say I was coming to tickle your ears. This is the truth. This is the truth. And so why don't we look at those issues? And then people get off of that, getting off of its hell. But they get off and they feel so much better. These things have lifted. Or you look at their mental diet. Oh, but Shane, I just love horror movies. Well, your flesh might, but that's what's causing a lot of this. I would be scared too if I'm watching all this garbage out there. And so we have to look first at our spiritual diet, at our physical diet. Look at what we're feeding. Look at what we're allowing into our body. And a lot of things that we struggle with serotonin or mental disorders or challenges. If you're not getting enough vitamins, minerals, D and K and E and vitamin C and all these things in good God-given food, it actually causes these things. Just do your research. Don't take my word for it. And when people get back on the track physically, they feel tremendous. So it doesn't always fix the problem. Usually it complicates it. But we should not rule out the demonic because of pride. Pride. And I've struggled with this before. I mean, if somebody told me, hey, your son, you know, do you think there could be a demonic involvement? Oh, no, I'm a pastor. Nope. Actually, that could be why. And so talking with parents over the years, like, oh, no, our house is good. He's fine. No, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, how do you know? Kids having phones now at 10, 11, 12, you don't think they're being open to all kinds of things? And so I think we just need to really look at this area of demonic when we assess things. Do you know most of Jesus' ministry dealt with deliverance? I remember looking at least 11 cases in the Bible or so of Jesus delivering people from demons. I don't know how they latch on and hold on exactly. I just know that they do. I know that we can open doors to the enemy. I'll get in this in Genesis. The Bible talks about be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, because there's different spirits that can control us. We can give the enemy a foothold in our lives in these areas, and it begins to open the door, and we open the door more, and we open the door more. Also with legalizing marijuana. But I love the excuse. Well, it's for medicinal purposes. Well, maybe that 1%. But the other 99% are being affected. You alter, it's called a state, you're altering your state. And so verse 19 and 20, I'll get out of the conviction area and keep moving forward. Jesus answered him and said, well, let's remember now, because I kind of interrupted it. The man came to Jesus, he said, nobody was able to heal my son. And so Jesus said, okay, bring him here. Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Jesus is seeming a little irritated here. You think he ever got irritated? Yeah, the Bible says he struggled. He was tempted in all points like we are, but was without sin. So there was the temptation, but not the sin. Maybe some of you need to be encouraged this morning. Temptation is not yet sin until you act upon it. But if you keep fueling the temptation with your thought life, then it does become sin because you're allowing it to grow. Even though you haven't quite acted it out yet, if you just keep allowing that temptation to just come in, you have to take that thought captive. And so the door of temptation enters, you can enter or exit. You faithless generation. How can you imagine Jesus saying this? What about if I said that this morning? You faithless generation. You people, how long do I have to endure this? 90% of you don't even come to 6 a.m. worship. You faithless generation. What is wrong with you guys? How long do I have to bear with you? How long is God going to keep me a pastor? This is pathetic. I can't continue to do this. It's hard bearing this. He's kind of saying that. Not quite like that. Not that is dramatic, I'm sure. But he said, bring him to me. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when the boy saw him, immediately the spirit in him convulsed. And he fell on the ground, wallowed around, and foamed at the mouth. And if we got into more detail about demonic deliverance, it's interesting, when someone is delivered, they usually manifest according to what they've been delivered from. Mental illness, or many of those being delivered from drugs, alcohol, things will foam at the mouth. It's because the body there's like the battle going on, and the body is manifesting itself. And I know it sounds it sounds odd to some of us, but that's how the body. Remember, the body is reacting to what's going on spiritually. So when the demonic demon is delivered, the body responds, it manifests. The same thing actually should happen when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Not in a weird way, but there should be a response. Something leaps up inside of you saying, Abba, Father, thank you, Father. Not get away from me, Father. There's a response, something that comes out of us when we're filled with God's Spirit. We're not robots on autopilot. And so he was delivered. He was set free. And it's interesting here, we can see that nearness to Christ affects the darkness. Jesus walks up, sees the boy, and immediately the demon, the darkness was exposed to the light. The darkness hates the light because the light exposes the darkness and shows that its deeds are evil. You know, when you're living in sin, you don't want to be exposed. You want to keep it hidden. And the darkness was overcome. But I don't want to just leave here right now, because this portion of Jesus, we don't see him get like this too often. But he got irritated. Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? He basically gave them a spanking. He confronted them, did he not? He lovingly confronted them. And you need to know that it's okay sometimes if you need to do that. You who are passive, it's okay to put on the gas sometimes and be a little confrontational. And those who like to be confrontational, you need to put on the brakes and find that balance. But it's okay, it's okay to sometimes lovingly confront, because we should see what's going on in our nation and see what's going on in the church and say, zeal for your house has consumed me. I hate to see the perversion. I hate to see the perverting of doctrine and the perverting of truth. I hate to see God's word being mocked, and I hate to see all this destructive things being taught in the school districts and in our churches. And there should be something that upsets us, and we should boldly but lovingly confront these things. Jesus would confront entire cities that did not repent. He would confront people. He would confront the religious leaders. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus did not get along with the scribes and Pharisees, right? He would call them names like brood of vipers. He would call them hypocrites. Hypocrites. You give of your tithe, but you forget about mercy and justice and righteousness. You clean the outside of the cup, but inside the cup, you are full of greed and hypocrisy. You are like whitewashed tombs on the outside. I would love to see this sermon. I would have paid to see this sermon. He's sitting there talking to them, no microphone, telling them, you whitewashed tombs, you are dead men's bones on the inside. And you don't say to me that if you lived when your fathers lived, that you would have never killed the prophets. That attested to the fact that you are sons of murderers. And he said, fill up the measure of God's condemnation in your heart. You brood of vipers, you snakes, how will you escape the condemnation of hell? And we get mad when somebody gets a little bold in a sermon? Well, that wasn't too seeker sensitive. Do you remember that whole seeker sensitive movement? That whole seeker-sensitive movement, the 1980s and 90s, the whole movement was based on, now be sensitive to those who are seeking. Now, in theory, that's not bad. We don't want to just blow people out the water. You're not trying to be sensitive and get brownie points. You're trying to honor God and His Word. And if the Holy Spirit convicts, let the hammer fall where it may. Let the conviction take place. That's what's happening in our nation today. And it's actually in that whole discord that Jesus is saying that the innocent blood that was shed back in the Genesis from Abel, Cain and Abel, to Zechariah, that was killed between the temple and the altar, all of that blood is going to be required on this generation. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if I could just gather you as a mother gathers her hens, if I could gather you, your time of visitation is here. Look, your house is left to desolation. Turn to the risen Savior. Your Messiah is here. Don't continue rejecting him. He was preaching the truth in love. And America needs a spanking as well. Oh, can you imagine if the pulpits across America were aflamed with righteousness again, and they called the church to repentance, they called the politicians to repentance. They said, Governor, you must get on your knees before Almighty God. President of the United States, you must get on your knees before Almighty God. Can you imagine? Pelosi, AOC, you better get on your face before Almighty God when you're calling out the destruction of innocent children and mocking God's word. You better call, fall on your face, because the judgment of God will fall upon a disobedient nation. Can you imagine? But no, we don't want to upset them. I might lead them to the Lord someday, and I don't want to upset them. I'm trying to build a relationship with them for the next couple of years. That's cowardliness. Yes, build a relationship. Don't say what I just said in the first 5 minutes. But can you imagine that? That breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I mean, you see all the top sermons out there. I don't normally do this, but I'll do it. Let's say Rick Warren, or T.D. Jakes, or Steve Furnick, or Andy Stanley, or good old Joel Osteen. I mean, can you imagine? You don't hear any of this. I never hear any of this. It's tell me what I want to hear, because I'm trying to build a big church. It can't be hellfire and brimstone all the time. It can't be repentance all the time. We need to be built up. We need to be encouraged. But if that's all you do, if that's all you do, it'd be like eating chocolate all day long. You'd be malnourished. You'd probably die of cancer. You'd end up in the hospital because you're not getting other things that you need. And so we see the church in America now is sick spiritually, malnourished, spiritually speaking, with the truth of God's word. You have to have all of God's word, the totality of God's word. And so Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And this part just broke my heart this week. He didn't say a few weeks or a few days, a few months. What'd he say? From childhood. And some of you know, my brother dealt with this, when your child just goes into convulsions. Very scary. Especially back then, they would have open fires, or they'd be down by the water. And the demon would begin to manifest, and this boy would convulse from childhood. And he throws him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Did you know that's the goal of the demonic realm? Their goal is to destroy you. So stop playing with sin. Stop entertaining the demonic, because it's not there to just be entertaining. The thief comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And sin leads us down this path. And when sin is conceived, at least it bursts forth sin. And sin conceived leads to death. And you begin to allow that darkness to come into your life. It was trying to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So this man is pleading, Jesus, if you can do anything for us, if you can you, here's the changing factor. What about if this man said they couldn't do anything? He's still the way he is. I'm out of here. God let me down. I'm not going back to church. I'm not seeking God again. So be careful, people, and those listening, do not allow what the failure of men to gauge your relationship with God. You're not looking to men. Men will fall. Do not put them on a pedestal. Keep them down on the ground. Look to the cross. My job is to get out of the way and point you to the cross. Don't look to Shane Eidelman. Don't look only. Look to the cross. I'm just a broken sinner pointing the way to the cross. An all-sufficient Savior. The old folks used to sing in those hymns. Oh, the rock of Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood can wash away my sin.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when He calls. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.